SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's the final Football Friday. It's the final Football Full Circle of the calendar year 2023. And what a final football weekend it is here in 2023. College football bowl season rolls on. Another quadruple header on this Football Friday, including the first New Year's Six Bowl that we have on the college football calendar and this bowl season. Four more college games on Saturday. We have an NFL marquee matchup in primetime on Saturday. 14 games around the National Football League for a full Sunday slate as we get ready to end out 2023 and start a new year with the college football playoff semifinals on January 1st, 2024. So for all of that, we welcome you into FFC. It's Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, one final football weekend here in 2023 to make the people some profits, to make them more engaged and informed when it comes to the wide world of football. That's what we'll do today on FFC.
Oh, I can't wait, Ben. This is the best time of the year, and I love it. Wall-to-wall coverage for both college and the NFL, and we saw some great action as it related this past week in regards to the college game, games that went down to the wire. We saw Arizona step up and knock off Oklahoma. I mean, a back-and-forth affair. And we saw Joe Flacco step up and lead Cleveland to a playoff berth, which is absolutely amazing when you think about the highs and lows for the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson there, then he's not. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, P.J. Walker, and then their fourth stringer, Joe Flacco, leads this team to an 11-5 overall record. This is what it's all about. I mean, teams are potentially going to step up, and we'll see how it plays out and which teams are standing in the end for both the NFL and college.
Let's bring in that Sirius XM audience here on Football Full Circle. Channel 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. This is FFC on the final Football Friday of 2023. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us as we get ready for one final weekend, one final football weekend of the calendar year 2023. Four bowl games yesterday, four more on this Friday, one just about to kick off at the Gator Bowl between Clemson and Kentucky. We'll provide you live updates. We'll break down the CFP as this will be the last time you hear from us before the college football playoff, and we are going to fire through the Week 17 weekend slate around the NFL. So, Joe, let's not bury the lead anymore. It started last night in Cleveland, and the Browns and Joe Flacco have figured something out. Joe Cool living up to his name once again. 309 passing yards, three passing scores. Cleveland scored 34 first half points, 37 in total as the Browns bash the Jets. They win 37-20, covering as a touchdown favorite and going over the pregame number of 33 and a hook or 34 and a half, all by their lonesome. The fourth consecutive game, Joe, that Joe Flacco has thrown for more than 300 yards. The first time he has ever done that consecutively in his long and storied NFL career. The Browns have won four straight. They have covered in all four games as the favorite side, even last night, laying more than a touchdown at home. And with its 11th victory of the year, Cleveland clinches a playoff berth in the competitive AFC.
Yeah, unbelievable. Again, I was very impressed with the Cleveland Browns offensive line. I thought did a fantastic job. And Joe Flacco just locating the open wide receiver. David Njoku, right? Who cared that Amari Cooper wasn't in that lineup? I mean, he had 100 yards receiving in the first half. Long touchdown. Jerome Ford with two tutties, one receiving and I believe one rushing. So at the end of the day, the Cleveland Browns won this game, in my opinion, in the interior. New York Jets could not sustain anything from a defensive perspective to shut down Joe Flacco. I mean, they allowed him time. He picked apart their secondary, and they deserve to win that ballgame. And here's the other thing, too. Big picture, I said it before, and we discussed it yesterday and throughout the week. Cleveland now is in the playoffs. They were 20-1 shot to win the AFC. They have a trigger man now that won a Super Bowl. They're playing with a little Joe momentum now. This is going to be a very difficult team to beat in terms of whatever matchup they have in the first or second round. So keep an eye out for the Browns, because if they do continue, they can make a run for a championship title.
Yeah, certainly so, Joe. When you look at Joe Flacco now, the 15th NFL season, this is his 16th NFL year that he has played all around the National Football League in backup duty for the Jets. The last few years, of course, was the longtime quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, winning a Super Bowl with Baltimore in the mid-2000s. Joe, in the mid-2010s, excuse me. When you look at what Joe Flacco has done, last night, Joe, going up against a defense in New York was the second best passing defense in all the National Football League, despite throwing for at least 311 yards in three consecutive games entering the start of Week 17 last night on a Thursday in Cleveland. His passing yards prop for most of the day was 233.5. It ticked down into the 220s before kick last night in Cleveland. He sailed over that in the first half, finishing with 309 yards, multiple touchdown passes, and all five starts he has made as Cleveland's quarterback. Yes, he's thrown a pick, but with some good, you got to have a little bad mixed in there as well. 13 touchdown tosses to 8 interceptions. But Joe Flacco has this offense moving, Joe, in a way that Deshaun Watson never was able to do. PJ Walker couldn't sustain, nor did Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie out of UCLA, provide that spark. It's Joe Flacco who has been mastery in terms of Kevin Stefanski's offensive scheme. Questions to answer for the Browns in the offseason around that quarterback position, knowing the financial investment they have tied to Deshaun Watson. He only threw for more than 250 yards twice in his 11-game sample size, fully healthy for the Cleveland Browns. Never 300 or more. Joe Flacco has done that after being on the streets until about a month ago in terms of a free agent not playing in the NFL in four consecutive games. It is truly remarkable what Joe Cool has pulled off for this Browns team. And we'll talk about the future in just a moment. But here in 2023, Joe, the odds outlook for Cleveland, 14-1 now. $6 off that price to win the AFC Championship. Still the sixth best in the AFC. But, Joe, this is a team led by Flacco that has scored 31 points or more in three of the last four games, matched up with that defense, a team that could be dangerous come playoff time.
I absolutely agree, and they're going to get my money, whether it be in the first-round matchup and beyond, because I think they could be a potential dark horse because of the experience of Flacco. And forget his age. He's playing like a 30-year-old right now. You have to take what you're seeing in terms of the football field, four straight games over 300. So that defense led by Myles Garrett is dominant enough to take games over. And what are they doing from a secondary perspective? They have turned over multiple quarterbacks. They got the pick six last night for a touchdown. They have now done an interception, Ben, in four straight games. So, and it's multiple. It's not just one. So that is the biggest thing. When you force turnovers, run the football, get great quarterback play, especially in road environments, that's a great recipe to win ball games in a playoff scenario.
Joe, the price not only moving on the Browns, who, by the way, have clinched that playoff spot, more than likely will be the 5 seed, that top wild card position in the AFC playoff picture. Kevin Stefanski now a hefty odds-on favorite at minus 300 to win the NFL Coach of the Year award. And who could fault that price? Having done this, winning 11 games with four different quarterbacks, including a 38-year-old Joe Flacco. More to come as we preview the Week 17 weekend slate in the NFL. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Okay, so it's the final football weekend of 2023's calendar year. There is so much football to get in, and we only have about 48 more minutes to do so. Live right here on the final football Friday of Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio in 2023, we are going to fly around. We are going to start over the next two segments with the entirety of the remainder of Week 17's NFL slate. The second to last weekend of the regular season, one game on Saturday, a marquee matchup at the Star in the NFC between Dallas and Detroit, two of the double-digit win teams in that conference. We'll talk about all 14 games that we have on New Year's Eve, a jam-packed Sunday slate in the NFL before we transition to college football, the weekend to come, and of course the first day of 2024, the college football playoff semifinals between Michigan and Alabama at the Rose Bowl, Washington and Texas at the Sugar Bowl. Joe, how does the rundown sound to you?
I think it's great. I mean, again, it's a perfect complement, NFL and college. And those games Monday night that we're going to cover for the network in terms of the semifinal playoff games don't get better. I know that there was some, you know, uncertainty and dispute and argument, and rightfully so. But now here we are about 3-4 days away, and this is what it's all about. National championship on the line. We have the top four teams potentially in the nation. And we have teams, every team that's involved in the college football playoff has an argument to potentially win the championship. It's not like TCU last year where, okay, they got the victory, but, you know, they were up against Georgia. Whichever two teams square off on January 8th or 9th, they legitimately have the quarterback and have the type of team to win it all. So very curious to see how this plays out this coming weekend, Ben.
Yeah, before we get to the college football playoff and what we will see in bowl season, four games today, four games tomorrow, a day off on Sunday before we even have some appetizers before the CFP on New Year's Day. Joe, let's dive through the NFL Week 17 weekend slate. Only one game this weekend on Saturday, but it's the nightcap and a marquee matchup in prime time for NFC playoff positioning between two teams that have won at least 10 games in the conference. It's the Cowboys hosting the Lions at the Star in Dallas. The over-under 52.5. It's the highest total of the weekend, the only one that is north of 50. Joe, Dallas has lost two straight, but on the road in Buffalo and on the road last weekend against Miami. Detroit is fresh off their first divisional title in three decades in the NFL. It's a 4.5-point spread in favor of the boys. What do you like?
Yeah, I like the underdog, and I know that you could have gotten 6 earlier in the week. It's down to 4.5, but I still like the Lions in this matchup. I even like them plus 190 on the money line. I like what they're doing from an offensive perspective, utilizing Jahmyr Gibbs, the rushing attack with Montgomery. Jared Goff seems like he's back in rhythm, and they had, I would say, an inconsistent month, right, where it started with the Bear game, and they lost a couple of matchups, but they got it going again against the Denver Broncos. Back-to-back wins. I know Dallas is dominant at home, Ben. 15 straight wins, 30-plus points in every game at home this year, and they've won by an average margin of around 23.2 points per game over the last four meetings at home. But I still think Detroit has the offense and defense to potentially contain Dak Prescott and that offensive attack. Still think it's high scoring, but I like the secondary, and I like Detroit to win the ball game outright.
Yeah, I think we're going to flirt with the 50s. To Joe's point, Dallas has won 15 consecutive home games dating back to 2022. In their perfect 7-0 home record this year, they've been booked as the favorite in all seven games. They are 6-1 against the spread. They are high-flying, high-octane offensively at home. Detroit not great on the road, but this game still played indoors. That will be a benefit. Joe, if you think that Jared Goff and the Lions take this one easy, fresh off the heels of winning their first divisional title in three decades in the National Football League, I would think again, still very much in the running right now, at least based on record with 11 wins for that top overall seed in the NFC. Now, it's not likely. San Francisco is a 12.5-point favorite against the Commanders on the road this weekend. The Niners in that pole position still, despite the loss on Monday night to end out the triple header on Christmas against the Baltimore Ravens. But Detroit's still playing for that playoff seeding and positioning. If not the one seed, the two seed, so maybe they can host not one, but two playoff games in the Motor City this year. I do think we see that response, though, from the Dallas Cowboys. The line a little bit funky at 4.5 right now. So that's the marquee matchup on Saturday. We go to the marquee matchup, Joe, maybe of the entire weekend. It's one of the early games on Sunday. It could decide the AFC's number one overall seed in the Charm City. The Baltimore Ravens host the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the flock booked as a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under 46.5. Joe, what is your expectation for a monumental matchup in the AFC on Sunday in Baltimore?
Yeah. It was a monumental matchup last year. Remember Lamar Jackson with the big run, the double-digit first-half lead, and all of a sudden Tyreek Hill and Tua just got it going, and it was one of the biggest comebacks in NFL history, right? So that is the concern for the Baltimore Ravens. Keep the pedal to the metal. But, I know that secondary force, what, five interceptions, five turnovers against Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold last week. They're going to need to do that again, even without Kyle Hamilton. I still like the physicality of Baltimore. Again, we talk about Miami being the shiny Ferrari in step-up spots. I just don't trust them. I don't trust their defense in terms of the rushing attack as it relates to Lamar and Gus Edwards. Give me Baltimore. I'm going to lay it, Ben. And I think they move to 13-3 overall.
A game of the week feel, Joe, yet again for Miami and Baltimore in the NFL. And unlike Baltimore and San Francisco, the Dolphins and the Cowboys last week lived up to that billing. It was close. It was competitive. It came down to the wire. I expect that to be the case, but I do lean with the Ravens. I wonder how monumental that hook is going to be on that 3.5-point spread right now in favor of the Ravens. They've been booked as a favorite in all but two of their 15 games this year, 8-5 against the spread. Really good covering numbers as the favored side. Miami, Joe, was the underdog in their opening game of the year on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. Tua Tagovailoa threw for over 400 yards and four passing scores. Miami won outright as a field goal underdog. They've been an underdog three other times since that point. On the road in Buffalo, on the road in Philadelphia, in Frankfurt against Kansas City, they have not covered any of those spreads. They've lost by a touchdown each time. The average margin of victory for the other side, more than 16 points per game on average. Miami has that narrative around them, Joe. They beat up on bad teams. Their only win right now against a team that enters the second to last week of this NFL regular season that has a winning record is Dallas at 10-5, and that win came just last week at home. I lean with Baltimore here. With a victory, the Ravens clinch the AFC North and that top overall seed in the AFC. So much at stake. If the Dolphins pull off the outright upset, Lisey Guy, they would clinch the AFC East divisional championship, taking some of the luster away from the regular season finale in Miami next weekend against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for Miami, it's more of, you know, you want to erase all the negativity in terms of the losses that they have had. And then what I'm talking about is Philadelphia, Kansas City, you know, those big physical teams that sort of push around the Miami Dolphins. Now, they got one against Dallas, but what has been the weakness of the Cowboys, you can't win on the road. The Miami still has that same type of MO as the Dallas Cowboys. Can they do it? Only time will tell, because we even saw them in Orchard Park earlier in the year. They got blown out by the Buffalo Bills. So you don't want to lose this game to Baltimore and then have to face off against Josh Allen that's playing lights out with that rushing attack of James Cook. So again, it's going to come down to interior line play, and that's where I give the edge. Even without Kyle Hamilton in that secondary, I give the edge to the front seven of Baltimore and the offensive line as well, Ben.
The Ravens right now plus 200 to win the AFC. Miami the second best price at plus 360. The flock the favorites to win the AFC title. Second best price to win Super Bowl 58. Still trailing the 49ers, who are in action on the road outside the nation's capital on Sunday. We will look at the rest of the 13 games still in store on a jam-packed Sunday slate, week 17 of the NFL season. You want to see fast? That's what Joe Lisi and I will do. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. There is a jam-packed and full Sunday slate around the National Football League here in the second to last Sunday of this NFL regular season. 14 games, a very full Sunday slate. We already hit on the marquee matchup, which is Baltimore and Miami, that could decide the number one seed in the AFC. Joe, let's just roll in chronological order, and we do so with some pace. Next up, another AFC East game that if Miami Miami loses and Buffalo wins, which the odds makers expect in a big way, it will be a matchup for the divisional championship in the AFC East in Miami to end out the regular season. And if those are the stakes, then that will be the final regular season game on Sunday Night Football. That's just my guess, but I would expect that to be the case. And Joe, the odds makers expect it to come down to the final weekend of the regular season, with Miami as a 3.5-point underdog on the road in Baltimore, and Buffalo a full 14-point favorite now, laying 2 touchdowns against the New England Patriots at home in Western New York. Joe, what do you like in that matchup between the Bills and the Pats?
Well, I think the Bills win, no doubt, Ben. But again, I think I'm going to – I originally liked Buffalo when it was under 14 points. Now we're touching 14 as we enter the weekend. And let's not forget the New England Patriots did win this ballgame outright in Foxborough as a 9.5-point underdog. Now, I understand Buffalo playing much better. But again, I just feel like this might – you know, Bill Belichick, all of a sudden he's covering lines against Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton. He's not just covering. He's winning the ballgames outright. So they're playing much more consistent with Bailey Zappe at the helm. Again, there's no doubt that Buffalo wins, and I know Buffalo's dominant at home, but I'm going to take the 14. I'm going to see maybe they run it like that game last year. What was it, 14-10? And they ran it for what, 46 times in that ball game? I know the weather's not an issue, but give me the Patriots.
Yeah, listen, it's a really big number, right? Buffalo has been booked as north of a touchdown favorite like we saw last Saturday night in L.A., now 7 times this year. They're just 2-5 against the spread. They've also lost 2 of those games outright, including against the New England Patriots in Foxborough the second-to-last weekend of October. They were laying 8.5, 7.5 in that game, lost outright 29-25. And I do think we see some points. If Buffalo is going to cover 14 points or win this game handily, they got to score at least into the upper 20s in my estimation. And New England, Joe, the offense has been on the upswing for this Patriots side. They've scored at least 17 points in their last 3 games. I actually think that continues on Sunday in Western New York. I like the over in that matchup. 40.5 is the total. Next up in Chicago on Sunday, it's the Bears and the Falcons. Chicago a 3-point home favorite, the over under 37.5. An intriguing matchup, Joe, because the Falcons still in the running for the NFC South, but a lot of ground to be made up. They've been abysmal on the road under Arthur Smith, just 3-14 straight up in the last 2 years. What happens in Chicago on Sunday?
You know, this is tough. I originally thought the Falcons, but it's going to be cold. It's going to be a little wet. I want to take Taylor Heineke in this spot, but I love the way Justin Fields is playing. I'm going to lay it with Chicago. This is one game I'm not betting capacity this weekend. I would lay it with Chicago, and I think the under does come in because I expect Atlanta to potentially run the football, keep it close, and obviously try to grind out a victory. I don't see any other way of Arthur Smith opening up against Chicago's secondary. So I think it's a run-heavy offense. I think Chicago does, in fact, win and cover, but the under is the main play in this ballgame.
Yeah, a total that was at 43 last weekend pushes for the Bears, who have gone under in 6 of the 7 games prior to that because the defense has been so much better. 37.5 is that total. I don't think the Falcons find a lot of offense against Chicago on Sunday, especially if the conditions in the Windy City live up to their name on the final day of December in 2023. C.J. Stroud, Joe, officially clears concussion protocol. He is slated to start for the Texans after missing the previous 2 games. On Sunday at home for Houston, who is still very much alive in the AFC South divisional chase and for a wild card spot in the conference as well. The Texans booked as a 4.5-point home favorite against the Tennessee Titans, the over-under 43.5. Houston, Joe, has not been good as the favorite side this year, just 1-5 against the number, only 3-3 straight up. Is this game going to be close on Sunday in H-Town?
It might be close, but I still think Houston covers the 4.5. Best play in there is over, in my opinion, the 43.5. I think they could push tempo. And again, you know, that Houston defense has given up some points now in back-to-back weeks against the Jets and last week with Joe Flacco in Cleveland. So I think it's going to be points aplenty. Over the 43.5, I think, is my best play, but I do lean to D'Amico Ryans from a defensive perspective over Tennessee. Still a little inconsistent. They went toe-to-toe with Seattle, but that was at home. Now they're on the road. Texans in the over, Ben.
Yeah, it will be interesting, Joe. Tennessee this year, 5-6-1 against the spread. We're not entirely sure who's getting the start at quarterback. Is it Ryan Tannehill? Is it Malik Willis? Could Will Levis be healthy enough to get this start week 17 against Houston? Speaking of another 8-7 AFC South team like the Texans are, the Colts will host the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday in Indy. The Raiders, Joe, of course, under Antonio Pierce, now 4-3 straight up in their overall record, 5-1-1 against the spread. Indianapolis has won 5 of its last 7 games, and in all 5 of those games, the Colts have covered as a short favorite. 42.5 is the total. Indy over in 10 of its 15 games so far this season. What's the look?
I love the Raiders in this ball game. I love the Raiders. Baby Ray Davis broke out, but I love the Las Vegas Raiders outright. Why? Because I think they have a mentality from a defensive perspective. Opportunistic, they're forcing turnovers, and I'm not sold that the Indy defense could shut down the rushing attack, whether it be Zamir White or Josh Jacobs. I mean, the interior line play for me is what's really evident in terms of this matchup. Antonio Pierce has built a culture, and I love the way the Raiders are playing. I don't think it stops either. Just because they beat Pat Mahomes last week, they're on the road. I think they get another win. They're still on the outside looking in for a potential wild card spot, so why not? And I just think that, you know, right now, Indy is capped out, whereas maybe Las Vegas has a little bit more in terms of upside.
I think if the Raiders win one more game, it's going to be very hard for Mark Davis to not give this job and not give it like, oh, he has to hand it down. But I think it would be very hard for Mark Davis to say that Antonio Pierce has not earned, as the interim head coach, the permanent position as the head man in this Raiders organization. A 5.5-point spread, Joe, in favor of LA, that being the Rams on the road in MetLife against the Giants on Sunday, the over-under 43.5. What's your thought here? Can LA keep it rolling and make it six wins in their last 7 games?
Absolutely. And again, I think this is one of the hottest teams in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills right now. They're playing with momentum. They're spreading the football to Puka Nacua. They're spreading it to Cooper Kupp. They're getting the rushing attack going with Kyren Williams. That travels well on the road. And their defense, I mean, not statistically great, but they're limiting big plays. Outside the big shot from Derek Carr to Rashid last week, they shut down the New Orleans offense. They allowed them to move the football between the 30s, but in red zone opportunities, they limited, you know, points, and that's exactly what you want. I think they dominate this game. Double-digit win, especially now with Tyrod Taylor. Not sold in terms of where the Giants are. Out of playoff contention. Give me LA in a wrap.
Yeah, they've been really good as the favorite this year, Joe. The Rams are 6-1 against the number, 7-1 straight up. A funky number square right there at 5.5. Don't know if I'll bet the game, but I'll keep an eye on Puka Nacua. You know they're going to try to feed him the football in the chase of that rookie-wide receiving record for the most receiving yards a rookie has ever had in his first year in the NFL. His prop, 68.5 against this Giants defense come Sunday. All right, Joe, elsewhere around week number 17, the San Francisco 49ers. Like we mentioned, a 12.5-point favorite on the road in Landover, taking on the Commanders, the over-under 49.5. It feels like to me, Joe, for San Francisco in this spot, if there was ever a get-right spot, this was it. I think the Niners hammer Jacoby Brissett now, who gets the start for Washington and the Commanders on Sunday.
I couldn't agree more. Do you think the question is, and I know Brissett played well against the Jets, do we expect Washington to score? I don't. So I think it's all San Francisco. Maybe we lean to the under in this ballgame.
I think you can throw all over this Washington defense. I would look at Brock Purdy not just to have 2 passing touchdowns, but 3+ at +220. Washington is the worst NFL team at home this year in terms of cover percentage. They are 0-5-1 against the spread in Landover. A big game, Joe, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who still sit in first in the AFC South. They're favored by 6 at home. Trevor Lawrence was not at practice yesterday. A litany of injuries for him, of course, over the past few weeks. It was the ankle sprain, then the concussion. He gets out of concussion protocol to take on the Buccaneers last week, injured early in that game with a shoulder issue. C.J. Beathard comes in. The Jags, though, have the easiest schedule, Joe, remaining in the NFL. This game at home against Carolina, next weekend taking on Tennessee. A 6-point spread, Joe. That's a big number for Jacksonville at home. What do you like?
I love Jacksonville. I think they hammer Bryce Young and Carolina. I will say Carolina playing a little bit better last week with 30 points in that performance against Green Bay, so maybe you look to the total. But I think even if Beathard does get the start, Jacksonville hammers them. Now, if they don't, I'll tell you what, this team is limping at the end of the regular season. Not a good look. Not running the football with ETN. They need to get back to basics.
Just a few weeks ago, in fact, 4 weeks ago, Jacksonville was 8-3, a minus 1,000 favorite to claim their second consecutive AFC South divisional title. They have lost four straight games, and they are now still a favorite, but it's just minus 168 with both Indianapolis and Houston hot on their tail. A couple of more games around the NFL in week number 17 before we get you set for the college football weekend, including the CFP up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. All right, let's continue to roll through week 17 of this NFL season and the Sunday slate that is chock full of great matchups. Joe, Philadelphia at home, the Eagles hosting the Arizona Cardinals, the Birds booked as an 11.5-point favorite. I guess I should clarify which Birds I mean, because it's the Eagles and the Cardinals. Philly at home is an 11.5-point favorite. The over-under is 48. Philadelphia is still in the running for the NFC's number one overall seed, looking to clinch the NFC East, trying to do so over these final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season. Joe, what do you like in this matchup between the Eagles and the Cardinals?
I think it's all Eagles. This is one of my best bets of the weekend. I know everybody was on the Eagles expecting them to win and cover against the New York Giants after losing a couple of ball games, but I think this is the matchup where Jalen Hurts breaks out. 297 yards last week. I'm going to lay it all day up to 16.5 because I think they win this ball game by 20 plus. I think this is the game where people will be like, oh, we were waiting for this all year long. This is the game that the Philadelphia Eagles make a statement offensively and defensively. They boat race, and I mean boat race, the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals have been booked as an underdog in every game this year, 7-8 against the spread. Philly has been booked as more than a 6.5-point favorite, Joe. They've laid more than 6 points four different times this year. They have not covered in any of those games. Is this the time as a double-digit favorite? The Birds laying 11.5 can get that done at home. Joe, the NFC South could come down to this Sunday in Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers, a 2.5 point favorite against the New Orleans Saints. If Tampa wins outright, they win the NFC South for a second consecutive season. Last year, Tom Brady was the quarterback. This year, it's been Baker Mayfield. Joe, will the Bucs win the NFC South with a win over New Orleans on Sunday?
Oh, this is tough. I would say no. How about that? And I've been on Baker, and I've been critical of the Saints, but I think this is one game. Dennis Allen seems to have a recipe for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Last time they were there with Brady, he shut them down. They won that ball game, I believe, 9-0 last year. He could do it again in terms of this situation. This is an ugly game. As good as Baker's playing, give me the dog and the under in this ball game, Ben.
Yeah, when you look at where things are right now, Joe, I think it's pretty difficult to bet against that. But if New Orleans is going to have a chance of moving the NFC South conversation to the regular season finale in week number 18, this game needs to stay under 42.5. All right, next up, we go to the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. It's the Seahawks and the Steelers. Seattle laying 3.5 points, the over-under 41.5. Joe, earlier this week, Mike Tomlin saying Mason Rudolph is scheduled to start. If he does it change your mentality of how this game plays out between the Seahawks and the Steelers?
No, because because I'm down on the Seahawks, and that's it. I mean, I know they got the victory. They grinded it out, but I just don't think they're that elite of a football team. So this is more like Pittsburgh by default. Now, I thought Cincinnati would dominate on the road. They didn't. We saw the passing attack come alive with Mason Rudolph, George Pickens, and we know Tomlin as an underdog. This is going to be a tough ball game, but I think Pittsburgh does get it done. And don't be shocked if their defense all of a sudden now starts to turn over Geno in terms of this road environment. I like Pittsburgh plus the 3.5 points.
Yeah, the Steelers this year, 5-4, both straight up and against the number as an underdog, meaning if they keep the game close, more than likely they're going to win it outright. Seattle, 6-1, straight up as a favorite, because we're talking about two teams that need a win in their respective wild card races, Pittsburgh in the AFC, Seattle in the NFC, but just 3-2-2 against the spread is Seattle, booked as the favored side. A budding AFC rivalry between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Kansas City, Joe, for most of the week, was a full touchdown favorite against Cincinnati at home in Arrowhead. The Chiefs now laying just 6.5 points. The over-under 43.5. Maybe this is not the marquee matchup, Joe, that we have seen the last couple of years between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes leading their respective teams, but still an important game since he's still in the hunt for an AFC wildcard spot. Kansas City really on life support, Joe, in terms of their overall outlook this year. We've given the Chiefs a ton of benefit of the doubt. Eventually, they're going to right the ship. I'm not so sure we can anymore. Booked as a favorite here, booked as a favorite in all of their 15 previous games so far this season. Joe, what do you like in Arrowhead on Sunday?
I like Cincinnati, and it's back-to-back road games. I understand they struggled last week, Jake Browning did, but I still like their offense to potentially win this ball game. Again, I don't like what I see in terms of the offensive philosophy by Kansas City. Outside of Kelce, there's not a consistent offensive weapon. I think that the team right now is starting to come unraveled at the seams. Mahomes yelling at everybody, Kelce as well. They're feeling the pressure, and to me, all the pressure is on KC as opposed to Cincinnati. I know Cincinnati's still fighting for a wild card, but I like what they have. They're a young group, and I still think Jake Browning could rebound in terms of this spot. They have more consistency, in my opinion, from where Jake Browning is to where they are now than what Kansas City has had with Pat Mahomes. This team has struggled to put up over 20 points at home in consecutive weeks and throughout the regular season. Yeah. The only game I could think of off the top of my head is when they dominated the Chargers and won that ball game by double digits. Outside of that, every game is a struggle for them. So give me the 6.5, and you know what? I like them plus 240 on the money line.
The Bengals, the last time they were an underdog, Joe, was a few Monday nights ago. Jake Browning's second ever career NFL start on the road in Jacksonville. The Bengals were a double-digit underdog. They won that game outright in overtime, 34-31. They had won three straight prior to last week's trip to Pittsburgh. They were booked as the favorite in all four of those, or all three of the previous games. Now the underdog once again. A backup battle in Denver on Sunday. It's Jarrett Stidham leading the Broncos. It's Easton Stick leading the Chargers. Of course, the big news for Denver, placing Russell Wilson on the bench. His future very uncertain with the Broncos, maybe not even uncertain. He's probably going to be cut here at the end of this season. The Broncos, though, still, Joe, a 3.5-point home favorite against LA, over under 36.5.
Yeah, well, think about this. They trim the fat and they're running lean. That's the way I look after they got out of Russell Wilson and that type of situation. Jarrett Stidham's a gamer. Is he an elite quarterback? No, but at least he'll buy in. Sean Payton wants to coach him, and maybe the team will look up to Jarrett Stidham as a potential leader. I can't buy into Easton Stick. I know they're on the road. I know Stick has played a little bit, but it's a cold weather environment. LA outdoors have no optimism about that offense right now. And here's the thing, you got to believe Sean Payton should be able to out game plan and out coach an interim staff, right? So give me Denver laying the 3.5. I don't love this game, but I like Denver in the under.
Yeah, I think Denver relies on Javonte Williams either through the air or on the ground. Sunday Night Football, Joe, an NFC North matchup. It's the final NFL game in the calendar year 2023. The Vikings and the Packers. A quarterback change for Minnesota, going to the rookie fifth rounder out of BYU, Jaren Hall, in place of Nick Mullins, who of course replaced Joshua Dobbs. Can Kevin O'Connell find what Kevin Stefanski has with his fourth quarterback of the season? Minnesota, a 1.5 favorite at home in the Twin Cities, -112 on the money line. Green Bay, the slight underdog, but we're talking -104 on that money line, so just a few cents of distinction. Joe, who wins outright in Minneapolis on Sunday night?
Jordan Love and Green Bay, and how can we not go to the over in this game? 43.5. I mean, well, let's alt it up to 50. I mean, Jaren Hall has some wheels, and he could be turnover prone. So I love the way Jordan Love is playing. I mean, I know they lost a couple of weeks ago when they lost that ball game to New York Giants. But again, and they actually lost two games to Tampa Bay too. But he's still putting up numbers. The guy is still dealing. He's averaging around 280 passing yards per game. Aaron Jones with the rushing attack. A.J. Dillon scored a touchdown with a broken thumb. I mean, we're going to get points aplenty. And I think Green Bay still has a shot to sneak into the playoffs. Give me Packers and the over, Ben.
Green Bay, Joe, has scored 19 or more points in seven straight games. The only issue is they've also given up 19 points at bare minimum in seven straight games as well. I don't think Joe Barry is long for this world as the defensive coordinator in Green Bay. I think Minnesota, even with a rookie quarterback in Jaren Hall, he'll look to Justin Jefferson. He'll find the outlets that he needs. Of course, TJ Hockenson now out for the remainder of this year. I like the over in this spot of 43.5. So that's the entirety of Week 17. In the Sunday slate, including the Saturday game in Dallas tomorrow. Joe, a couple of big nights in Dallas at the Star in Jerry World, including tonight's first New Year's Six Bowl game between Ohio State and Missouri. The line has now swung completely back in the Buckeyes' favor. It's a 4.5-point spread as Ohio State enters as the favorite side.
Yeah, I lean to Ohio State, Ben. I just think their defense with Jim Knowles, I understand that, you know, they have some opt-outs from a defensive perspective. But to me, it doesn't matter. Again, I look at Missouri. I look at when they stepped up against LSU. They were manhandled in the interior. And I know they went toe-to-toe with Georgia, and they got some victories over Arkansas down the stretch. But give me, if everything is equal, I like the Ohio State secondary matching up against Schrader and Brady Cook in terms of the passing attack. I think they win. I don't love it, but I'm willing to lay the 4.5. I think they potentially win by 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, now it's 5.5. Everybody in the market back on Ohio State. All right, Joe, there's four games today. We got to give you the moment to talk about the Sun Bowl, and then we'll transition into the college football playoff in a couple of quick breakdowns. But the Rolling Hills of El Paso, that's your CFP, Lisi guy. It's Notre Dame and Oregon State. 4.5-point spread in favor of the Irish. The over-under, 39.5 now. I think we see some points, Joe.
I'm alting it up into the 50s. Last year, we had a shootout. Last year with Pitt and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I'm leaning to the over, and I understand two solid defenses, Oregon State and Notre Dame, defensive-minded staffs. I don't care. I'm going over to 39.5. I already have it at 40.5. I like Oregon State in this matchup. The Rolling Hills. Forget San Bernardino Mountains in Pasadena. Give me the Rolling Hills at Texas El Paso. Any day of the week. Don't bother me from 2 to 5 p.m. today.
I love it for you, Lisi guy. I'm on you with some points right there. We're going to see some offense in this game. All right, Joe. College football playoff semifinals on the first day of the new year in 2024. Alabama and Michigan, that's number 4 versus number 1. And then, of course, it's the Sugar Bowl to end things out. Texas and Washington, number 3 versus number 2. In that order, Lisi guy, Michigan remains a slight 1.5 favorite. -130 on the money line against Alabama. Lisi, by the time we get to New Year's Day, who's going to be the favorite side in this matchup?
I still think it's Michigan will be favored, and that's shocking because we know Bama is a dog. But I like Michigan laying the 1.5. Put it this way. I talked about it with Carver. I'm willing to lay up to 9.5. How about that? Any takers? I think they win by double. I think it's a one-score game the whole way. In the end, Michigan tacks one up. And give me Michael Penix outright over Quinn Ewers in Texas.
All right, we'll continue to preview the college football playoff talk. Some props, what will be important as we get ready for New Year's Day, January 1st, 2024, in the CFP. On the other side of the break, on our final show of Football Full Circle in the calendar year 2023. We'll do that next, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The first day of a new year, January 1st, is a celebration of college football. It's the college football playoff semifinal at the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, under the guise of the San Gabriel Mountains. It's number one Michigan, number four Alabama. Michigan, a slight 1.5 favorite, -130. Money line, the total 44.5. Washington and Texas, 2-3 in the Sugar Bowl, the nightcap on the first day of January in 2024. Texas, a 4.5-point favorite, over-under at 62 and a hook. Joe, if you had to give the people a small betting card for the college football playoff semifinal day, what would it be?
It would be Washington money line, Michigan -2.5. I'm willing to do that, alt it up. And I think we get the over in Washington, Texas. So that would be it. I mean, if we're taking props, then I would lean to Penix because I think their passing attack could exploit the Texas secondary. And if we're talking Michigan props, I probably would take Blake Corum because I think they're going to run the football. I think he's anytime touchdown is a possibility as well.
You might see -200 for Corum to find the end zone, but for the guy that leads all of college football in rushing touchdowns this year with 24, I promise you it is not a hefty price. In fact, it might be a discount. I think we go over at the Rose Bowl between Alabama and Michigan. I think that benefits the Crimson Tide. They win outright +108, and I would keep an eye on Roydell Williams in his rushing yards prop at 24.5. Joe, to your point, in Washington and Texas, two prop bets I love in that game. Michael Penix Jr. over 309.5. passing yards against a Texas secondary that can be susceptible. Texas five times this year, Joe, in Big 12 play, either won the game four times by less than two touchdowns or lost outright to Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. Either way, when you look at those games, quarterbacks threw for at least 285. Four of the five threw for more than 300 yards. And I think Jalen McMillan back healthy for the Huskies plays a huge role offensively, over 78.5. He's the mastermind of the pigskin. That's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Everybody have a wonderful holiday weekend. Enjoy the end of 2023 and many blessings into 2024. We'll talk to you next week.